Amen. I've been preaching for the last several weeks. Are you ready? Are you ready? We've been using that passage of Scripture from Matthew 24. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You may be at the job working. You may have just burnt your toast for a Sunday morning. You may have just gone to the grocery store. You got peaches on your mind. What kind of meat am I going to buy this week? And you're not thinking about the Lord. Can you imagine? And the Lord comes. You leave your grocery cart right in the middle of the aisle for some poor old sinner to come along and say, where'd that person get to? What are they doing leaving it right here in the middle of the aisle? At a time when we do not expect, He is coming. And so that forecloses the deal that we need to be ready. We've talked about this chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, which is known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus and His disciples came out of the temple, and they were looking at these magnificent buildings of the temple, and Jesus prophesied, all of this will fall down, be torn down, and destroyed. We know that that happened in 70 AD. His prophecy came to pass. Then the disciples, they asked these two questions. There, as He said on the Mount of Olives, they said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? They asked Jesus a pointed question. Jesus steered them away from a timetable. He didn't say in 50 years. He didn't say in 100 years. He didn't say in 5 years. He didn't say in 2,000 years. He steered them away from a timetable. And He started to give to them specific signs that would tell them that the end is near at hand. We've already preached that message about the rapture of the church, the parousia, that first coming where He does not come clear down to the earth, but He comes in the heavens and He brings the saints out of the ground who have died, resurrects them, and then we are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. We've talked about that. We've talked about the first sign, the very first thing that Jesus said to them that they need to be watching for. We preached about it last Sunday. And that is that you do not be deceived. We went over a number of false teachings that are going on in the church today. And people are falling for it. And they're being led astray from the truth of the gospel. And by the millions across America and around the world being led astray, Jesus said that's the very first sign. Then He goes on through that 24th and 25th chapter of Matthew to list a number of other signs. What He is saying there is that when you see these things coming to pass, know that the end is getting closer. I was visiting with old brother Williams. He preached for us here, you remember, last year, and had to sit on the stool here to preach. He'll be 90 his next birthday. And I was talking to him just Thursday. I was up and visited with him. And I don't know, some reason or other, I like these old preachers.
Amen. Amen.
Young ones are nice, they're good, yeah, they're energetic and all of that, but yeah, listen to those old ones. We were talking about the coming of the Lord, and he said to me something that just kind of resonated. He said, "You know, I was raised in Florida." He rode the range. He was a cowboy on the range in Florida, herding cattle. And he said, "When I go back to Florida," he said, "when I get 100 miles down the road, I don't see anything about Florida." He said, "I go on down a couple of hundred, 300, 400, 500, 600 miles. I don't see a sign any place about Florida." But he said, "When I get down into Georgia," he said, "then I'll see a sign, so many miles to Jacksonville, Florida. Oh," he says, "then I know I'm getting close." And he said, "the further I go down the road, the more signs I see." And he said, "I know I'm really getting close." He said, "that's the way it is with the coming of the Lord. The closer it gets, the more of these signs we see coming to pass, being fulfilled, that Jesus is about to come." We've already dealt with the first sign that Jesus gave us, and that was, be not deceived. There'll be false Christs, false prophets, false teachers who will come into our midst, right into the church. We even read from the book of Revelation and the churches of Asia Minor and how they got astray. They got away from the things of God, the teachings of the Lord, and went after paganism right in the church. Hard to believe, but yet it happened, and Jesus warned of it. The second sign, beside false messiahs, that Jesus spoke of was world violence. Now, in the last days, Jesus is saying, when you see violence around the world taking place, then know that my coming and the end is very near at hand. Do you know that right now in the world, 65 wars are being fought on a continual basis? 65 altogether. We don't hear about them all. Some are in countries where factions are warring against each other. But just this year, 2015, almost 100,000 people have died because of war. That's a whole city here in the United States. A whole city wiped out. In a year's time, well, the year's not up. We're only in August here. And that many people have been killed because of result of war. There are rumors of war from several countries and factions. We know that Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map. They've made it public. They've stated it. That's our goal. That's what we're about. That's what we are eventually going to do. We're going to wipe Israel off the map. So we see the rumors of wars, and then we're always watching Israel, because Israel says we will not allow Iran to get a nuclear warhead. We will go in and destroy them. So war, and every time we turn around, we're wondering about warfare. A couple of years ago, Linda wanted to take Nathan and I and go to Egypt. And I said, "Whoa, no, we're not doing that. There's too much unrest over there. There's too much going on." And it was just a week or so after that that things blew up and people were getting killed in the streets of Cairo. Christ is telling us, when you see these things happening in the world, be watching. The end is near. Then he says, the third sign is natural disasters. Deadly floods leave a trail of destruction across Asia. When? August the 3rd. This month, that's happening. Death toll hits 100 as India's monsoon floods worsen. August the 3rd, this month, flooding in Burma likes to spread south. August the 4th, and active fires are burning in 5 states. 13,000 people evacuated as of August the 4th. And just over the last week, the fire in Washington State spread over 100 square miles. Can you imagine? These are signs Jesus is saying of the end of the world. Things happening. Middle East, there's a heat wave. Power failures. Rotting rubbish as Beirut is overwhelmed. August the 4th, death toll rises as typhoon crosses Taiwan. August the 8th, 795 million people today do not have enough food to eat. How many of you have food in your refrigerator? And you know where Food Line is in case you need something. Huh? We've got full and plenty. It's hard for us to believe that nearly 800 million. How many people's in the United States? 300 and some million, going on 400 million people. There are twice as many people in the world who are starving and hungry than what we have living in the United States. 8,500 children, five and under, die every day of starvation. Every 10 seconds. Child just died of starvation. 10 more seconds. Can you imagine till the time we get to the end of this message and 12 o'clock, how many children will have died because they don't have enough food to fill their stomachs? The American Cancer Society estimates that one of every 4 deaths will be from cancer. In this year alone, they are expecting 565,650 Americans to die of cancer alone. What about the rest of the world? How many are involved in that? You see what Jesus is telling us? These natural disasters and pestilences and diseases will rampantly, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. It seemingly, if you solve one disease and get a cure for that, another one pops up and another one comes. According to YouthAIDS, the HIV virus will claim the lives of 6,800 people a day. Not a year, not a month, but every day. And Jesus is telling us that's what was involved in this capsule of what he was saying, that in the last days you'll see these signs. Know that the end is near. Another one of the signs that he spoke of was severe religious persecution. Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith, and that's nearly 8 every day. Suppose this church, Emmanuel Chapel, was in one of those areas of persecution. Next Sunday, 8 of us would have been killed for our faith in Christ. Within a month's time, our whole church would be wiped out. Emmanuel Chapel would not exist anymore because everybody would have been killed for the cause of Christ, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every month, 214 churches and Christian properties are destroyed. That's given to us by Open Door. Every month, 772 forms of violence are committed committed against Christians in the form of beatings, rape, abduction, arrests, forced marriages, and etc. Can you imagine our church being involved in that kind of a situation? We just come to church and have church, and well, it went pretty good today. The church is over there when they are able to get together with each other. Where's brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? Well, they were killed this week. They're with Jesus now. They're no longer alive. Or one of the ladies come in and they'd been raped by a terrorist that week because they were a Christian. I read an article just the other day about one of our Americans that was over there working with a missions group some time ago. And last year, they captured her. ISIS, the terrorist, captured her along with a couple of Christian young girls, and every day the men of that particular household would rape these girls every day and take advantage of them. Two of them slipped off. They got away. They escaped. But the American girl said, "I can't leave. It might jeopardize you in your escape." She stayed and they executed her. And so we see that this is reality. It's in our day. It's happening now. And Jesus said, "Saints, look up. Disciples, keep alert, because these are signs of my coming and of the end of the world." One of the things Jesus said, there would be a great falling away from the faith. There would be people who would stop serving God. The American church attendance is steadily declining. In 1990, 20.4% of the population attended an Orthodox Christian church on any given weekend. In 2000, that percentage dropped to 18.7, and in 2004, on down to 17.7. So we're continuously, people are leaving church. People are not going to church. How many of you know somebody that used to go to church? Look around. They used to be on fire for the Lord. They used to serve God. Olson, who took this poll, said that he explains that while church attendance numbers have stayed about the same from 1990 to 2004, the U.S. population has grown by 18.1%. So while the population is growing, the church attendance is still going down. According to the population, more than 48 million people have been added to the population in that time period, but church attendance steadily declines. So even though the number of attendees is the same, our churches are not keeping up with the population growth of the rest of the nation. Well-known church researcher and author Tom Rainer notes that the future of churches to keep up with the population growth is one of the church's greatest issues heading into the future. How many new people that are born and raised coming up in the world? How many of the new young people from the high school and the middle school and the grade school, how many of those are being oriented into the faith of Jesus Christ, being taught and trained the things of, oh, we can make new softball leagues anytime. We can have new baseball leagues and new basketball leagues, you know, we can build new schools to accommodate all of these new children that are coming in. Spending millions of dollars to keep up with the population, but the churches aren't able to glean those and bring them into the body of Christ. In a 2002 survey, 1,159 U.S. churches, according to Rainer's research team, found that only 6% of churches were growing. 6%. If there's 100 churches, only 6 have taken in new members in that past time. So we are on the decline. He defines growth as not only increasing in attendance, but also increasing at a faster pace than its community's population growth rate. Stating inversely, 94% of our churches are losing ground in their communities that they serve. Look at Emmanuel Chapel. Let's take a look at ourselves. We're not talking about the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, or any of the rest of them in town. Just look at ourselves. Look at around. How many empty seats do you see here? How many new faces do you see coming in? We're fortunate that every now and then we get a Bob and a Sally that come to us. And we get one here and one there and a Linda back there. We're so grateful for anyone who comes through the door. We ought to hug them. We ought to have them close by. But we also know that there's plenty of places for new ones to come and sit. Amen?
Amen.
We're not keeping up. In this decade, approximately 3,000 to 8,000 churches close their doors every year. Let's take an average there. Let's say it's 5,000. How many churches a week is that? 5,000 churches close their door in a year's time. How many a month does that take? Take 12 into 5,000. How many do you have closing their doors? You have 400 and some a month that are closing their doors. That's about 50 churches a week. Go out of business. They close up. They have no more coming. And so they can't keep things going. Is that an answer to what Jesus said? In the last days, there'll be a great falling away. If present trends continue, the percentage of the population that attends church in 2050 is estimated to be at almost half of what it was in 1990. A drop of 20.4%. Now, Olson's projection for the year leading up to 2050 are less than encouraging. He estimates a drop of 16.6% in 2010 and 15.4% in 2020. If I'm still alive and preaching here at Emmanuel Chapel in 5 more years, if these statistics are right, 15% of the congregation that we see here right now will no longer be here. Not because they died, not because, but because they don't want anything more to do with religion and church. Think about it. Jesus said there'll be a great falling away. These statistics are given to us by Kelly Shattuck. Between the years of 2010 and 2012, more than half of all churches in America did not add one member. Each year, nearly 3 million more previous churchgoers enter the ranks of the religious unaffiliated. Friends, if we're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we need to see what's happening around us. We need to pay attention to the signs that Jesus gave us. This was one of them. There'll be a falling away from the faith, said Jesus. Next in one of the signs he gave, sin increasing and love growing cold. Oh my, have we ever seen that? How many know that you're hated by a whole bunch of people?
Amen.
Just because you love Jesus, they don't like you. I read that little article in the paper, that lady in the back page, and people write in about their problems and their relationships, and she gives them an answer. And I pay attention to what she's saying. She is one liberal. Let me tell you that. And she was ridding the church out last week. She was telling the whole world the church is off base. The church and its religion is they need to revolutionize themselves, get rid of the Bible, and come up to modern day culture. I want, if I'd have had her by the hair, I might have turned into a caveman.
I've got a better way for you.
Listen what Paul said to Timothy about the last days. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. You know, last week we just had two road rages right here in Washington County. People pulling up beside someone else and pointing a gun at them along the road. No self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul says, don't be caught with such people. Turn away from such people. Don't be involved in this ministerial association of pastors of churches that fall into that category. Amen? They're off base. We need to stay true to the Word of God and true to Jesus. As a society, we have got used to illicit sexual relationships, adolescent promiscuity. First thing we think about now when our girls turn of age is put them on birth control. We used to teach them, keep your legs together. We used to teach the young men, keep your pants zipped up. Amen? I'm telling it like it is. We used to teach them and train them the way it's supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. Abortion is one of the leading... Where in the world did anybody ever dream that we would get to the place where we'd use our federal tax dollars, my money, that the IRS takes off of me and I don't willingly give it up? I write the check, I send it in, but I do it with a grudge. Yes. Amen. Amen. Even though Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that... When I hear about my tax dollars going to pay an organization who is willing to tear babies apart in the mother's womb and then take their limbs and take their tissue and sell it for a profit, God help us in America. Amen. Cheating, lying, stealing, prostitution. Just got a whole bunch down here in Frederick last week. And a preacher from York, Pennsylvania was one of them. Stealing, prostitution, rape. A young man is on trial now. We're seeing it all over the news. He's on trial because he is accused by a 15-year-old young lady of raping her. But well, it's a tradition in our school that the seniors get to take an underclassman out before they graduate, and the underlying everybody knows that it's to have sex together. Now he's on trial for rape. And there's an attorney who is willing and able to make money off of supporting him. I could never be an attorney. Divorce. Divorce. And we're not just talking about sinners getting a divorce here. Do you know that the divorce rate among evangelical Christians is as high as it is among non-church people? Something wrong with that picture. Murder. All of these things are in our society. Baltimore has now bypassed Chicago in the number of people murdered this year. We have gotten used to financial mismanagement on both civil and personal levels. Oh, so what? They wrote out a bunch of mortgages a couple of years ago that it should have never written. They went bankrupt. The federal government took my tax dollars. There we go again. And bailed them out, and now they're back in business. We have accepted political corruption. You can wipe your server clean. Ooh. We have rejected personal and social responsibility and learned to blame anyone or anything else for our problems and our failures. I used to be the chaplain of the Washington County Sheriff's Department. I spent hours talking to the inmates there in the prison, county jail. Do you know, I have yet to find one inmate that was willing to accept responsibility for his actions. Somebody else made me do it. This happened or that happened, and I'm not really guilty. Baloney. We have traded our infinitely valued divine image for a nickel-plated pagan shrine erected in honor of self-interest, immorality, and social apathy. The American ideal today to me, to do what I want, when I want, to whom I want, regardless of who or what it may hurt. These are signs of a society that has gone wrong. Amen. Gone wrong, says Keith Fortner of Recivilizing America. Woe to those, said Isaiah. Listen to him. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, but who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're seeing it in our day and age. The things that the society, not just the church, the things that society used to say is wrong, now society is saying it's all right. And the church is wrong. Isaiah saw it coming. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 24. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom. Well, now let me back up just a little bit. You know, all of those signs that Jesus gave, the pestilence, the war, and all of those things, when he got down there partway in the 24th chapter, he said to his disciples, but the end is not yet. There's more to come. We're seeing it. Are you seeing the signs? Is it putting you on guard that Jesus is about to come? The end is coming down the pipe. You know, Jesus went on to say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They were living it up, having a big old time, just like they are today. And God said in heaven, I have to put a stop to this. And so he sent a flood and he killed the entire population except Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. He wiped them out. There were babies that died in the flood. There were young children that died in the flood because they were part of a society of people who could only think evil continuously. And that's what's coming. That's what's headed our direction. That's where the tribulation period will come and the saints and the church will be gone. But Jesus said, after all of those signs, the end is not yet. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, then shall the end come. You know how close we are to having the gospel preached to all nations? We're right there. We're right there. Let me ask you, can you make it to the end? Can you make it to the end? If they walk in the church next Sunday, or a month from now, or a year from now, they walk in the church with automatic rifles and say, anyone who does not recant your faith in Jesus Christ will die today here in the church. What will you do? You can't even stand up to your friends. How are you going to stand up to being persecuted for the cause of Christ? Your friends say, well, come on, let's go out and have a big time tonight. Let's go do this, let's go do that. And you say, well, I'm serving the Lord now. Oh, look at Goody Two-Shoes here. Well, I guess Jesus won't mind if I do it just one, you know. Hello? We can't stand up to the world as it is. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many have told a lie this year? Has anybody taken a pencil or a pen from someplace that wasn't yours? What's that called? Huh? Oh, well, they won't miss it. Abe Lincoln, I think, walked how many miles to return a couple pennies that somebody gave him too much. You see, if we give in to the little things, what did the wise man Solomon say? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things. It's those little things that we do. So then I'm asking you, can you endure to the end? When they make a law that it's illegal for churches to preach against the sins of society, are we still going to be in church?
Yes.
Are we still going to serve the Lord?
Yes.
Right now in Kentucky, just 2 weeks ago, minister of the gospel working in a state organization with youth was told he could no longer tell them what sin was, or he'd lose his job. He had to sign a paper. If he didn't, his job was gone. In Kentucky, of all places. In Canada right now, you can't preach against sin from the pulpit. It's illegal. It's hate speech. And it's coming. Are you ready to endure to the end? How many of you are ready to go all the way? I see the signs of Jesus coming to pass. Look up, church.
Yes.
Look up, saints. Look up, individual. Know that the coming of Christ is near at hand. Are you ready?
Yes.
Stand with me. Everybody who wants to be ready, come on. Come on down, for everybody who wants to be ready. Come on down. Those of you that can kneel, come up around this altar, get down, kneel, talk to God. Talk to God about your being ready. Sit on these front seats, sit wherever. If you can't kneel, that's fine. Just stand or sit down there on the seat. But let's talk to God. I want to be ready more than anything else in this world. I want to be ready. I want to be ready for you to come, Jesus. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be ready. The signs are upon us. The signs are around us. We see the signs everywhere. Christ is coming. Jesus is returning. The end of the world is coming. The end of society as we know it is upon us. I want to be ready, Jesus. Oh, strengthen me. Fill me with your holy presence. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your humility. Oh, Lord, touch me with your presence and power. That, oh, God, I'll be ready for your coming and for your return. I don't want to be left behind, Lord. I don't want to be left in this world without the church in it, without Jesus being the example in the society and culture anymore. I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus, whatever you have to do in my life, whatever I need to give up, whatever I need to change, change me. Lord, use me. Make me ready. There's nothing more apparent and needed, Lord, than being ready for you to return and ready for you to come. Here we are, Lord, on our knees. We're in your presence and we're on our knees. We're calling out to you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, work in our lives. Help us as a church. Help us, oh God, to see the need of the sinful. See the need of the sinner. Reach out to the lost and the dying. Reach out to those, Lord, that are leaving the church and leaving the worship of God. Love them and cherish them and reach out and bring them back to the fold. Bring them into the body of Christ. Lord, help me to have a burning desire in my heart to reach out to save sinners. Bring them to the foot of the cross that they'll know Jesus and be ready for His return and His coming. Give me a desire in my heart to win people to the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be ready. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor.